Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. How many are blessed this morning? Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Then I'm going to read another scripture. I'll read it to you. And amen when you have it. Praise God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth." Now I'm going to read also the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In the following Sundays, the Lord put in my heart to share with you on the topic of family. This morning, my title is Wisdom for Your Family. Wisdom for Your Family. They say that fatherlessness is the curse of the day, of our day. And there is a fatherlessness in the pew or in the pulpit. As I was reading, it says that the rise of fatherlessness in modern culture, the times that we're living right now, is often attributed to different factors. One of them is increased divorce rates or rising rates of out-of-wedlock birth, changing social views on marriage and family structure, economic pressures. And when you think about it, God, according to the Bible, the first thing that God created was a family. He created a mom and a dad. How many believe that? And he created a family, and it's even a model, according to the Bible, for the church. Now, think about this. Some of the causes of fatherlessness. Once again, divorce. Increased divorce rates significantly contribute to fatherlessness, as many children will end up living primarily with their mothers after a separation. Number two, unmarried birth. A growing number of children are born outside of marriage leading to situations where fathers may not be actively involved in their child's life. Then you have the culture shifts or economic factors. And the list goes on and on. But what's important, church, is to never forget that God is the creator of family. You know, they say that, as they do many researches, it shows that never more than ever, children growing up without a present father can experience negative consequences. In these areas, negative consequences, one of them is education, mental health, and social development. You know how important it is for a father to be present in the life of a child. Amen. And that's the reason why I read this scripture. It says that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And notice that the Bible says, and God blessed them. God blesses families, church. God blesses a father and a mother. And the Bible says, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. So that is the culture that we see right now. And that's the reason why also, church, hear me, is that we need more fathers and mothers to get involved. Do you know that everything starts with the family? Matter of fact, there's a scripture, I believe it's in Psalms chapter 66. The New Living Translation says this: God places the lonely in families. You know how important it is, a community, surroundings, a family, a father and a mother to be present. The impact that you can make. Because we don't want, I'll say this, church, we want to impact our children. Not the government. Not the school system. Not the culture. But it starts, everything starts in the home. Amen. Everything starts in a home. Matter of fact, your family, it's been said that the family is your family is your mission field. Your family. What good is it for me to save the whole world, but if my family is lost? My children are lost. So everything starts, number one, with the father or mother, male or female, is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's never going to change, church. It's to have a relationship with the Lord. Because we want to do it God's way, not the world's way. I said we want to do it God's way. And see, they say that the problems in the home, number one, is what they call the sins of commission. Listen, problems in the home, sins of commission. What are sins of commission? Those are the sins that are intentional or unintentional act of doing something wrong. In other words, many times we know what's wrong, but one continues to do it. As a father, we know what we ought to do. Or at least I think. As a mother, you ought to know what you ought to do. And see, it is very important to be present. As I was sharing at the church in Hopeville, it's one thing to give everything to your children, but there is no relationship with your children. What's important is that you are present at the moment. Amen? You might not be around 1, 2, 3 days, but the days that you are, you're present. Like somebody said, it's what you call, or what you would call, is quality over quantity. It's the quality time that you spend with your children. Now, then you have the sins of omission. When someone fails to do something that God commands or that they know is good. And then you have sins of no mission. You just have no mission. No goals. You don't dream about being a better husband, being a better father. What do I need to do in my life? As a father or as a mother, what's in the way? And it is important, church, because if we don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. Amen? Somebody else will do it. But see, God chose you. You have a responsibility to step up to the plate. And how many know that it's never late? Might not be the way you would want it, but it's never late. So, it is important to minister to your family first. As I mentioned earlier, one can be all over the world. You can have a large church, a large business, a global ministry, but everything starts primarily. What's important, priority, is your mission field, is your home. Your home. But how do we do that? The question is, how do we do that? We'll break it down. We need more. Hear me what I'm going to say. And this is, you're not, you probably won't hear this again. We need more men and women to be disciples. Followers of Jesus Christ. I said, followers of Jesus Christ. I want to be taught by Jesus. We need more men and women to be disciples. You know, I understand the part. I'm going to say something, and I want to be clear about it. They say, don't sacrifice your family on the altar of your ministry. Ministry, as a son and a daughter of God, and you might have a ministry or a calling. And as I mentioned on Friday, at one moment of time in the past, many would put the ministry over the family. But hear me what I'm going to say. I'm going to be controversial a little bit today. Yes, the family is important, but God is more important. And many times we use that as a crutch, many times. Family, family, family. But at the same time, you're not obeying what God is calling you to do. It's about the quality time you spend with your family or with your wife, your children. It's like I said on Friday, you could be at home all day with your children, but you're not paying attention. They could be, they're talking to you, but you're watching TV. They want your attention, but you're watching Netflix. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you do this, you brought a Happy Meal, but they want your attention. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say this morning is that you can balance it off. That every chance you do get to be around with your wife or your husband or your children, give them all the attention. That's what works. That's what they're looking for. Now, Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be," notice what it says, "you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Notice that he says, "And you shall be witnesses," where? "To me in Jerusalem." Your Jerusalem is your home, is your family. Now, there's a scripture that Jesus said. This is where it's a little heavy. Can you handle it this morning? Okay, because many times we use that. Too much church, too much ministry. But let me, I'm going to break it down real easy. Nobody takes the place of God. Amen? Not even the wife or the husband or the children. God is number one. And the way I believe, God is number one, then your wife, then the children. Now, Luke 14:26 says this. This is Jesus speaking. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife," did you hear that? "Children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also," look what he says, "he cannot be my disciple." That's heavy. I don't think you understood what I said. When he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate. Now, that word hate is not saying that you hate, like when you hate someone, which we shouldn't hate people. We might hate things, but never hate people. That one's just a little side nugget, okay? But he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, when he says does not hate it, this is what it means. Hate means, the original language, it means this, means to love someone less then you love Jesus. So this is the way it reads originally. If anyone comes to me and does not love less. In other words, you have to love Jesus more. Then your father, your mother, your children, your brothers, your sisters, and even your own life. What does that mean? That means that's a commitment. It is a requirement to follow who? To follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Potentially what it's telling us is putting him, putting Jesus many above our family. You know, many times, and it's very common, you see your wife or your husband or even your children on fire for Jesus, and we will use that. Oh, you don't spend time with me. You don't spend. And we go off. So now you got to ask yourself, the times that you do spend time with the, is it quality time? Or is it just because you're just nagging? You know what I'm saying? So it's important when you're with your family, pay attention. You know, I try to do my best, but I'm not there yet. Little Eddie, my son, was telling me about when he went to, they were giving a class for the PKs, pastors' children. And the brother that was giving the teaching said this, that him and his family, they make this, it's a custom thing they do. Once they sit down, no phone. No phone. No phone. No watching messages or, wait, hold up, let me finish. This is a time for your family or your wife, your husband, your children. And I have that struggle sometimes. I'm working on it better, but if you really think about it, it makes a difference. Changes everything. The atmosphere changes. The vibe changes because you're making them know that they are important to you and that you care for what they're saying or what they're telling you. The other way around, it's like this is more important. This is priority. So, now, so if you say, well, Pastor, I'm praying or, you know, I want to change. What are you praying for? Pray, here it is, church. Pray for wisdom. Wisdom. Why? Because God is a God of wisdom. Proverbs 3:19 says this. The Lord, by wisdom, he founded what? He founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Notice that he says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. I mean, if God, the creator of heaven and earth, he by his wisdom founded the earth. We need wisdom, church. Be a better father, better husband, a better wife, a better mother. See, church, we got to do it Jesus Christ style. His style. Not the culture style. Not what your neighbor says or what you hear about the neighbor, what you hear at the workplace. No. You got to ask yourself, is that even in the Bible? Is it scripture? And when that's why I keep saying we need disciples of Jesus Christ. Why? Because a disciple of Jesus Christ, hear me, church, reads the Bible, prays to God, fears God. But if you're not a disciple, you might come to church, but the question is, or you might say, I'm a Christian, but the question is, are you a disciple, though, of Jesus Christ? Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Think about that. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. My Lord, how can I understand my wife better? Get wisdom. How can I understand my husband? Get wisdom. And I will say this, church. There is no such thing. And I don't really like to use this word, but I'm going to use it. Because I think that when we use this word, we take it lightly, or it's like, see, it's this word. There's no such thing as a perfect family. And many times that kind of expectation, that kind of pressure is something that will break a family apart. See, you can't, we're never going to have it perfect, church. But I like what somebody says. But you might not have a perfect family, but you can have a maximized family. Godly family. What does that mean? That means that you follow Jesus. Yes, you know, you act up. At home, whatever, talk back, you raise your voice, whatever. But guess what? But you're still following Jesus. Amen. You recognize that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You know how important it is to come to the house of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's a godly family. Come on, don't act like you don't get into it. At my house, we're loud. We're loud. Amen. No, nobody wants to lose. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to lose. Everybody wants to pull out a better one. So I know what that is. But I do believe that we can have a godly family. That in all of that, we recognize that without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are nothing. We recognize that it is important to follow Jesus. See, all our kids can serve the Lord, and they might not be perfect, and many times not the way we would want him. Like, I would want my children to go to Bible school, but if it's not in them, praise God. For me, what's important is that they serve the Lord, they fear God. Amen. That's not to say that maybe little Eddie, you know, thinks a little and says, you know what, I want to go to Bible school. Praise the Lord. Amen. And everything is possible with the Lord Jesus Christ, church. Everything is possible. Now, let me throw it around. Now I'm going to twist it a little bit. It does make a difference, church, when God is priority in your life, when you fear God, when a father steps up to the plate and says, you know what, it's Sunday. It's time to church. It's time for church. Amen. That you push the family. Psalms, I love this scripture. It reminds me a lot of my father-in-law because he would always quote it. But Psalms 112, verse 1 to 3. Look what it says. Just give me 5 more minutes and I'm done. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Did you get that? Blessed is a man or woman, who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. See, you got, church, if there's something, if there's some advice, wise counsel I can give you, is that you fall in love with your Bible, the Word of God. Like it says in Joshua, meditate it day and night, and you will have success in everything you do. And it goes on to say, who delights greatly in his commandments, but notice, look at the consequences. Look at the harvest. Look at the reaping. When a man fears the Lord and he delights greatly in his commandments, it says this, his descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Your generation will be blessed. And then it says this, wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So that tells me how important it is, church, is to fear God. And we're living in times where it's been, that is getting lost, church. The fear of God. And you know why? Because there is no word in their life. People are just doing, you know, what they think is correct, what's right in their own eyes. It reminds me in the book of Judges. It says that there was no judges, and everyone was doing whatever they wanted to do, because there was no judge. There was no word. And you know, when that happens, church, if there is no word, guess what? You're going to do what you think is right in your own eyes. And see, I don't have to tell you, because many of you that are here this morning, you've experienced the Lord Jesus Christ. You've had encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ, where God broke you, God touched you, God blessed you, God renewed you, God gave you another chance, he gave you another opportunity. You've experienced the love and the presence of the Almighty God in your life. So you already know that. You might be saying, Pastor, well, I'm backsliding. Well, slide back in. Easy. Slide back in. Somebody wrote, when ministry is about family first, it's about family, and family becomes about our ministry. What's going to happen? We're going to build strong men. We need strong men, church. The days we're living now, it's dangerous. We need men. And men want to be something else. That's the truth. So we need to build strong men to build what? Strong families. And if we build strong families, we'll build strong churches. If we build strong churches to transform the culture and establish the kingdom of heaven on the face of the earth. That's why we need more disciples, church. Men and women who will stand up. Just think about it. Imagine there's a single mother and his son, child, 10, 12 years old, he's rebellious. and there's 10 godly men full of the Holy Ghost, and give him advice, that youngster, give him advice, and lay hands on him. And tell him, you respect your mother. But see, people don't do that. Oh, he's just going through a little transformation, you know. You know, he'll get over it. No, 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 church. He's never going to get over it. If nobody says anything, guess what? He's going to grow up that way. I remember when I was in my teenage years, I never forget. We used to get into trouble, and two times they went and picked me up at my house. Put handcuffs, took me in. Never in jail, but they would take me into the office. And one guy, I guess some of the friends stole all kinds of stuff. Long story short, it got to my family and one of my uncles. That's why, this is why it's so important, church. He sat me down and he told me there is no need to do that. To steal, which I didn't steal anyways, other people. But they were accusing. He says, if it's that you need something, a radio for the car or whatever, just ask. And I never forgot that. Why? Because he took the time to sit down with me at a moment where I was acting up, something I never forget. Now, think about that with your children. At the moment of the heat, when someone's going through something, getting in trouble, or doing things they shouldn't be doing, but you take the time to sit down and you ask, Lord, give me, I know my son or daughter doesn't want to hear this. You know, they like to talk back. They like to grumble. Whatever it is, give me wisdom. And put your love at the moment to love my son and daughter. Let me speak to that person, to him or her. And you'll see what God does, church. Let me give you another example. When I used to play baseball, little kid, I played Farm League, Little League, Babe Ruth. And a teacher, Mr. Don, from Celia Elementary, coming out of the cafeteria, I was a little boy. He called me, sat down with me. This is what he told me. He goes, Eddie, if you hit a home run tonight, I will buy you ice cream from McDonald's. And guess what? I didn't hit a home run. It hit the fence, but he still bought me the ice cream. But what I'm trying to say, church, is that little things, because they take the time to speak to you, talk to you. And I could give you a lot of examples. I'm going to give you another one. One time in the class, a teacher, she had Tic Tacs, her desk, me and some other guys, but I was the main one, grabbed them, a few, got caught, and man, she scolded me. Hardcore. That it's wrong, blah, blah, give me a better lecture. But then there was another teacher that heard about it, but he did it differently. He sat with me and told me that it's not correct, and gave me with more wisdom than the other one. So what I'm trying to say, church, is just about taking a little bit of time. Even if it's with your spouse. Talk. But you got to want it. Don't let the enemy, because the enemy will play minds with you. Oh, you're going to waste your time. Yeah, you're going to tell them, but play it off like they're listening, but they're not listening. You do it anyways, because it's the correct thing to do. And in other words, matter of fact, you don't worry about it. The one that's going to take care of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, husbands and wives. There is power in prayer. When you act up, watch out. Because if the spouse is godly and prays, it's not going to go well. I'll tell you that right now. Guarantee. You're going to go to work and you're going to be like, what's going on here? Because the Bible says, if James chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So that's all I have for you today, this morning, church. Please stand. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.